Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you another episode of A Little of This, A Little of That. Thank you so much for tuning in today to 101.5 on your FM dial. You must be in need of entertainment, information, and a little amusement. We'll try to provide some of that for you. Today's subject is about the shrinking of our U.S. global empire. And I wanted to tell you why people are fleeing Puerto Rico, Guam, and every other U.S. territory. What's going on? Well, I'm going to tell you as much about that as I know, and from an article in the Washington Post recently, as a backup. Well, for much of the post-war era, America's territories thrived. Remnants of the age of imperialism, 5 far-flung Caribbean and Pacific outposts, added residents faster than most states. But the 2020 census revealed a troubling turn of events. Every territory is now shrinking, losing population faster than any other state. The U.S. territory Puerto Rico, for example, has 3.3 million people and Spanish and West Indian traditions that are traced back to the age of Columbus. The nearby U.S. Virgin Islands, population 87,000, were previously settled by Denmark. Over in the Pacific, between Japan and Australia, Guam, with a population of 150-some thousand, and the Northern Mariana Islands, about 47,000 residents there, have shared the Chamorro heritage and tourist economies that have been oriented toward East Asia. In American Samoa, 50,000 people, in the heart of Pacific Polynesia, still employs a communal system of land ownership and lies closer to New Zealand, actually, than it does Hawaii. But one big thing unites them: U.S. rule. Their population collapse also seems uniquely American. From 2010 to 2020, the population plummeted by 18% in the U.S. Virgin Islands, while the British Virgin Islands gained 9%. And over the same period, American Samoa lost 11%, while independent Samoa gained 7%. And so you might well ask, what's going on? Why are people fleeing the distant vestiges of America's global empire? Good data remains elusive, but the government rarely gives the territories equal coverage in its headline economic and demographic releases. Legislation introduced last July by Representative Grijalva in the House of Representatives and the territory's non-voting delegates would push agencies to fill those data gaps, but it has yet to truly begin the arduous journey through Congress. And so nothing has happened yet. So By picking up the phone and talking with local officials and experts over the past several months, the Washington Post and other papers have come to a simple, perhaps overly simple, conclusion. The island territories, even the most developed ones, have much in common with America's rural areas. Their problems are rural problems, supercharged by migration and tax policy, and of course, by distance from the nation's population centers. The population loss in the territories came as rural America snapped a four-decade population growth streak and began shrinking. The decline stemmed from familiar rural culprits: declining manufacturing, lack of health care, falling birth rates, brain drain, and climate change. Even Puerto Rico's storied capitals, San Juan, might have more in common with a faded Rust Belt region like the U.S. Midwest, or like Detroit, for example, than with a superstar city on the coast. Well, like many rural areas, the islands are trapped in a vicious cycle. As people lose their jobs or move away, tax revenue falls. Without that revenue, the territories cannot provide the same services. The lack of services and amenities drives more residents away. Those residents stop paying taxes, and the cycle accelerates. But what set off the cycle? Why did this happen? What turned decades of growth into decades of decline? Well, to answer that, we have to look at what was going on in other parts of the world. But first, each island is different. But when we ask for the broadest factors, we find the economists point to manufacturing. The island struggles occurred as China squashed rural factories everywhere. And the territories were hit unusually hard because the flood of cheap Chinese goods came at the precise moment when an accident of history made the islands uniquely vulnerable. So back we go to the 1960s, or maybe even earlier. U.S. and territorial officials used aggressive tax incentives to lure factories. It worked. Global industries reshaped the islands. There are pharmaceutical factories in Puerto Rico, textile factories in the Northern Marianas, oil refineries in the Virgin Islands, and tuna packing factories in American Samoa. But after crackdowns on what critics call corporate welfare during the Clinton administration and the years that followed, most of those tax breaks disappeared. The most prominent of them expired just as Chinese factories were hitting their stride. While not all policymakers agree on this, economists such as Professor Feliciano, City University of New York, says that textile, footwear, and electronics manufacturers on the islands depended on those tax breaks, and they couldn't weather China's rise without them. Her recent analysis from Suzhou University, a professor there in Taiwan, found that the phasing out of one of the biggest tax credits, Section 936 of the Internal Revenue Code, from 1996 to 2006, explains at least half of the decline in Puerto Rico's pharmaceutical industry since 1995. The declining population of Puerto Rico, in part, is due to the economic crisis created by the elimination of Section 936, according to Professor Feliciano. The economic struggles have accelerated the brain drain on the islands as the young and the ambitious leave to attend school or join the U.S. military. As with rural kids seeking their fortune in cities, the islanders often put down roots on the mainland, where their college degrees and other experience are far more remunerative. The islands just don't have many high-paying opportunities for the educated. It is very troubling for the middle class and the students who graduate there, according to a University of Guam economist. They're beginning to say that this is a very challenging place economically to build, to raise a family, or and to commit to. Well, there are islands then with worst brain drain and more. The exodus of the best and the brightest makes the islands less attractive to companies looking to relocate, which leads to fewer well-paying jobs, which pushes even more skilled graduates to leave. The ambitious, well-prepared kids, they go to college on the mainland. They don't come back, not often. And then you have a mass of young people that are not well-prepared due to the low quality of the public education system. The only options for many is basically to go to the military or to migrate to the mainland. Brain drain has long plagued the islands, but as birth rates have fallen and death rates have risen, it hits differently. Populations no longer can count on enough new babies to counter the steady outflow of young adults. Indeed, the birth rate in the territories is perilously close to falling below the rate of replacement. That's probably already happened in the Virgin Islands, American Samoa, and Puerto Rico, which has one of the lowest fertility rates in the world. And at current rates of decline, the other two Pacific territories will soon join them. The island's rising death rates are tied to an aging population living in healthcare deserts. Mainland rural Americans often are forced to travel hundreds of miles to get basic care. For Americans in the territories, hundreds of miles can easily become thousands. Medical facilities on the islands often can't provide advanced care, forcing people to travel to the mainland, the United States, or to foreign countries. For example, a 2019 federal report found that the only hospital in American Samoa was in a state of failure due to age, environmental exposure, and lack of preventative maintenance. Like most other territorial residents, American Samoans aren't eligible for supplemental security income, which pays monthly benefits to the elderly and the disabled. A surprising disparity recently upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. And then, as their population and economic growth have sputtered, many communities in this fast oxidizing globe-spanning island rust belt have turned to the only industry left to them, tourism. But service industry work doesn't pay nearly as well as factories, and the influx of tourists can drive up the cost of living for locals. We have this greater and greater trend of people saying, I can't find work here. I can't find a future here. I can't continue to pay $15 a gallon for fresh milk. This, according to a resident of Guam. Tourism is also far more susceptible to external shocks such as hurricanes, financial crises, and global pandemics, even by the standards of rural America. Starved by drought and ravaged by wildfire, the islands have had a rough go of it. The 2020 census and the pandemic came as the islands struggled to recover from hurricanes Irma and Maria, which were two of the most expensive storms in history. And in 2017, they devastated the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico twice in just a matter of weeks, leaving more than 3,000 dead and demolishing important health, education, and tourist infrastructure, some of which still hasn't been rebuilt. Simply rebuilding what was lost in these storms makes increasingly less sense as the specter of climate change looms ever nearer. All the territories are exposed to the peril of rising sea levels. This also includes changing weather patterns and intensifying hurricane and typhoon seasons. Hurricanes, of course, in the Western Hemisphere, and typhoons are that kind of storm in the Western Pacific. The climate risk is becoming increasingly more significant and more severe. People who study this situation now fully expect that the migration that I'm talking about will get worse because of climate problems that the islands face. And in the islands, migration is made uniquely appealing by a circumstance that exists nowhere else in the world. American citizenship, or in the case of American Samoa, residency. Typically, U.S. citizens by birth, territorial residents are nonetheless stuck in constitutional limbo. Why? They're disadvantaged by complicated, more than a century old legal decisions that deny them certain rights and benefits because they are fierce, savage, and restless people. That's a quote. Who cannot be governed by Anglo-Saxon principles. Imagine that language still existing. But there's a simple way to break out of this limbo. They can move to the mainland, and the moment a territorial citizen steps off a plane in Florida or in California, their vote counts in federal elections, and they're eligible for every federal benefit. Population loss in the territories, not surprisingly, has coincided with a sharp rise in the population of territory-born folks in the 50 U.S. states and Washington, D.C. In every territory, at least a third of U.S. residents born there are now living in the states. If you could count people with island ancestry who were born in the states instead of their homeland, the magnitude of the loss becomes even clearer. There are now more people of Puerto Rican ancestry living in the states than there are people living in Puerto Rico in total. As their population, their economic growth have sputtered, many communities in this fast oxidizing, globe-spanning island rust belt have turned to the only industry left to them, and that's tourism. But service industry work doesn't pay nearly as well as factories. And the influx of tourists can drive up the cost of living for local people. Tourism is also far more susceptible to external shocks, such as hurricanes and the financial crises and the global pandemics, as I said. And so, part of our empire, yes, and we did build an empire with these parts to it, is becoming smaller all the time. After that long oration about the territories, I think it's time for a little wit and wisdom as we end today's program. Here are some quotes I think you may enjoy. The spirit of liberty is the spirit which is not too sure that it is right. That was Judge Leonard Hahn and quoted in the Washington Post. Think of yourself as dead. You have lived your life. Now, take what's left and live it properly, according to Marcus Aurelius. The road to hell is paved with adverbs, according to Stephen King, the novelist. History never looks like history when you're living through it. More tears are shed over answered prayers than unanswered ones. Life is like playing a violin solo in public and learning the instrument as one goes along. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Hope we informed you. And I want you to turn in to 101.5 next time. We do enjoy having you around. I want you to keep safe, be kind to your neighbor, and be sure that you listen to us as much as possible. And now it's time for Willie and I to hit the road again as we look for more interesting things to put into a little of this, a little of that. And with that, Willie and I are going down the road. Willie, hit it. I think we're off today. Goodbye.